What a blessing you and I have been given and called by the living Father. Sure is good to see a full house. You know, this is my fourth year being here at Walnut Creek. I remember everyone telling me how great it was up here, and it was true. It was true. I came and I've come back ever since. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves. And I hope that we are truly blessed to receive God's messages, being with God's people for 7 days and then the eighth day. God wants his family to be together. He wants us to get to know each other, to love each other, and to be a part of his kingdom. He has not called us here to fail. He has called you and I here to be with him and his son, Jesus Christ, and with all that he has planned for you and I to be a part of. You realize this is the fourth day of the feast. We're halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles. It goes by quick, doesn't it? I mean, we are enjoying each other. We've had some wonderful sermons, messages. We've had wonderful fellowship. Oh, some delicious food, and I'm probably one of the ones that show it the most how good that food is. Because I'm just a light boy of about 250 pounds, so. But anyhow, it is enjoyable. And you know, the best thing about it is we're together as a family. It's like a family reunion. Every time we come to God's holy days, it's just a wonderful time because we're here. We're commanded to be here if we want to be a part of his family. And we have been called and we have received that calling, and how blessed we are. I thought I'd tell you a story. I started my first feast here in Keeping God's Holy Feast of Tabernacles in 1967. And I was so excited. Oh, I just couldn't believe it. They said this place up here in Poconos Mountains and all, it was going to be gorgeous and all this and that. And you know, I remember driving up there and I took the scenic route on, I think it was Route 80 over across, I think it was. And then I got to my room. Back then, you have no idea if you haven't been in for many, many years what we used to be in. But today it is so beautiful. I mean, we have great accommodations and you get to pick where you want to be. Well, anyhow, I got in this hotel. I had a room that was probably maybe 6 by 8, maybe 8 by 8. And it's going to be a little crowded, but that's okay. But I was a single guy. Now, you single guys, you need to realize what's going to happen here. Back then, they assigned who stayed with you if you were single. I met a guy who was my age probably, I had never met before in my life, and I slept in a double bed with him for 8 days. Yeah, it wasn't funny. It was not funny. But I didn't care. I was glad to be there. And I hope that's how we are here. Just glad to be here. Glad to know that God has opened your mind and my mind to be here and be a part of his family. Anyhow, we had a tent. This tent is so beautiful this year. So good to see so many people here. But I was in a tent in Pocono Mountains. And the very first night, a tornado split and went around us. Literally split and went around us. Well, the day before, I had been over to the tent area where people were camping, like some of you are. And I looked at myself and said, man, I should have brought a tent and camped. I said, this is gorgeous out here in these trees and everything, you know, just, oh. After that night, was I ever glad I did not have a tent. Because the next day, I was out there helping them all day after services to get cleaned up. it was a mess. The hurricane didn't hit us, but we still got a lot of wind and a lot of water. So that was my first beginning of my first feast. And you know what? It rained and stuff. Who cared? I want to be with God's people. And we used to have to walk a long way to get to your seats or to your cars. You might walk, I think sometimes it seemed like about a quarter mile, probably wasn't quite that far, but it seemed like a long way. And I always felt sorry for the young people or young adults who had children. And they'd be dragging wagons with kids in this child and another child, and the father would be dragging the other one, and then they'd be carrying hands on two others. And I said, boy, whew, man, I'm glad I'm not those people. You know, about 15 years later, I had those children. I was pulling in with them. I said, oh, those poor people. I felt so sorry for them because they was going through rain. I mean, it rained almost every day there, but it always seemed to stop just before the church started. You know, God takes care of everything. Well, anyhow, can you imagine this place where we are today with about, what, 250, 275 probably? Maybe 300. I think it's supposed to be able to hold 300. Can you imagine being 40 times bigger? 40 times bigger. Because the Poconos held 12,000 to 13,000 people. And we had, I think, three like that at the time, and then we still had the ones out west that weren't as big. But can you imagine? We'd be dropping a bucket, wouldn't we? It took you half an hour, 45 minutes to get out of the parking lot. You know, nobody complained. Nobody complained. We got fogged in one day, and I'll never forget. And I walked out, and someone had brought in a food place, and we had to walk clear back past the parking lots. And you'd see more doors all opened up in these cars, and all the men were laying down getting some rest because we couldn't get out. It was fogged in. You couldn't see. And you poor ladies, you had to do the hard work because they had to take care of those children still. And a man, they helped some, but they didn't help enough, I'm sure, for the ladies that were thinking. But anyhow, it was a great feast, great sermons. And just like here, we're learning, we're growing closer to God. We know God is coming. We know that we have been called to be His chosen people, to work with others and to help. We've had such good sermons and messages. It's just been fantastic. And I hope that we will take home from God's feast more and more, and we will be stronger and stronger. And that's what it's all about, helping us become stronger and serving God and doing His will and being an example to the world. Because we're the ones who have to change. They do not understand right now. We're the ones who have to do what it says. We have to do it now. This is our time. This is our time to grow. This is our time to look forward to being kings and priests that God promises in His kingdom. Today I want us to count our blessings. Blessings for being here. But first I want to tell you a story of my first feast again. It was a very interesting time, because I had no idea what I was going to get into, and guess what? It just got better and better. Couldn't wait after that feast was over with to come back, just like you and I can't wait to come back again and be together and hear God's word and be with God's people. But anyhow, there used to be a song out. We used to have the song, count your blessings one by one, count your blessings and see what God has done. And I was sitting at a not anything as nice as this. We were sitting in chairs, and we were pretty close. And this old man, I thought he was old. I was 20 or 21. He was probably 50. But anyhow, as we're singing the song, this guy isn't, he's about three over, and I'm going like, couldn't get what he was saying, and I kept, you know how it is. Come on, please be honest. You were right. You'd do that too if you heard something that didn't sound quite right. I finally got it close enough to hear, and what he was saying is, count your blessings, ton by ton, and then count them one by one. I have never forgot that, because we never can give God enough thanks. God has blessed you and I so much. And being here is one of those one by ones. But we have ton by tons that God has given us to give thanks for. And be thankful that we are here. Because God has called you and I out of this world. Today I'd like to talk about maybe a few of the blessings you and I have. This is God's family. How did you get here? That's one blessing. God opened each one of our hearts and minds. He opened it, and then we couldn't let go of it. Or at least I couldn't. I'm sure you couldn't either. And everything was so doing, you say, oh, this can't be true. This isn't what I've been taught. I was in the Church of Christ. This isn't what they taught. You know. But I couldn't prove it wrong. I'd always just accepted when they said, oh, the Sabbath was done away with. You know, it's now Sunday. Then I found out, as you did, it's a lie. So who's carrying that lie? Satan. Satan is trying to make sure you and I do not know his truth. But God opened your heart, opened my heart and our minds. And that's why we're here today. And that was probably the beginning for most of us. Not all of us. There's different things that happen. But you know, God allowed us to go a long time sometimes. Some people were young, you know, and came in when they were 18, 19. Some of you have been blessed, come from homes where the families have been in all your life. It's all you ever knew. You have no idea what a blessing it is to have a loving family. And God is the God of love. And he wants you and I to be there with him. God has called you and I to be a part of his kingdom, a part of his family. And this is what this is representing, heading that way. As we know, once you were called, baptized, and we're going forward, you and I have become the light of God's way. In Matthew 5:14, if you'll turn there, you've read it many times, I know. But it's always good to remember and see the writing. Forgive me, I got a new Bible, and it's a thin paper, and it's harder to turn. I haven't got enough things in it, so. Matthew 5. Well, let's go back to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, isn't that kind of funny? Not funny, but isn't that kind of unusual that that would be just before he's telling us that we are the light of the world? But he is warning us, is what he's doing. because he's letting us know that we have a job, and if we don't do it, we will not be that light. So verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When we're out and about, we're an example to the world. And are we different in here when we're with each other when we're out? We have to look at that. We have to make sure that we're doing God's way of life all times. We are blessed to know God's word. We're blessed to have his Holy Spirit in us. And when people see us, I know I had a neighbor, and you probably have people say it to you too. He came over to me one time. We've probably been neighbors for 6-8 years maybe. And he came over to me, he said, "What do you do on Saturday?" I said, "I go to church." He said, "You're different." "You're different." He was a Catholic. He was a big guy. He was about 6'3" or 6'4". Back then, I was only about 175 pounds, so he looked really big. But, you know, the thing was, he says, "But you're all right." And that just shows that we never condemned him. We were friendly to him, you know, but we never got together. But I'd see him out and we'd say, "Hello, how you doing?" And we'd talk and, you know. But he just, curiosity, see, he knew, he saw our family get up, walk out every Saturday morning, dressed up, and get in the car and leave. So he was curiosity. And he could care less what I was, so we didn't talk any more about religion. We just talked as friends. And that's what we got to do unless someone really wants to know. But we are to be the examples. We as being the neighbor to someone, they should know that we're different. Just what we do. Because they see you leave every week too. And if they ask you, are you ready to give them the answer? We should be. But make sure we're not trying to show that we're smarter than them. It's like was mentioned in some of the sermons. You know, we are their friend. We're not better. We're blessed. We're blessed to have God's wisdom and knowledge in our hearts and minds. And we are to show that wherever we're at. And it should be a good example here where the feast is at. And I believe it is. And I want to tell you what, I always heard about Amish food, but I'm telling you, it's some good food. And a guy my size, I'm happy. We went over in, what was this little town over here yesterday, me and my wife, and man, I'm telling you what, their food was just out of sight. But anyhow, I'm getting hungry now. I've got to hurry up and talk. No, but we need to realize that we are the first fruits of God and that we represent God. He called us to be that. And you know, we don't want to be like others we have seen in the past. If we're not close to God, Satan is there to take you and I away. He would rather take you and I away than any of those he's already got a hold of, because he knows they're already shot. But you are a target. You and I are a target of Satan. He got thrown out of God's kingdom for what he did, and he's all evil. And in 2 Peter, we're told to, you know, what he is about, he wants to destroy you and me. And you and I need to make sure that we don't fall. We are truly thankful to be here and be a part of God's kingdom. I went too far. Yeah. I got the wrong scripture. I'm sorry. Well, I'll go to my other scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 15:13. But what it was telling you, the devil wants to destroy us. Satan wants to destroy us. You've heard this because we have Passover and everything else, and we do to it quite often, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his command. At his command, we are God's. He is saying, I have called you, I am with you, I will take care of you. And if we have faith and trust and faith in God, we will truly do that. We will follow in the footsteps that he has given us, and we will grow in every way. And then we have warnings that God gives us that we shouldn't be doing certain things, you know. And we have to finish the race. It's a race to God's kingdom. It's a race. This is the blessings that God gives you and me. 1 Peter 5:4. And it says, in 5:4 it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. When God comes back and Christ's plan and God's plan is full, you and I will be in God's kingdom. He called us to be winners. He called us also to finish the race because it's not going to be easy. Satan is out there trying to destroy you and me, and we do not want to slide and not be a part of God's family. Timothy 4:4-7, he tells us about running that race. He understood. Verse 4, it says, And they will return their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That some of us could be. We cannot let that happen. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure all afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. For I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We need to follow the example of the apostles. We need to follow the example of our son, of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and me. He wants you and I to be with him. And this is what this represents here, the Feast of Tabernacles, being with God the Father and Jesus Christ and all those. But you know, we have one other thing we have to think about. Bill gave a sermon the other day showing the terribleness of the people that went through World War II. And it will be worse. It will be worse when Christ returns. There will be millions upon millions. It was one small segment of life, mainly in Germany and that area, Europe and that. And of course, Japan, but Japan was taken out quickly. But do you realize how many more people, how many more millions are going to be basically slaughtered? And then there's those who are going to be left, who have seen all this. He talked about some people being underground for 3 years or 4 years and never being up, not even seeing, starving and hungry. It's coming. We must realize now that we cannot stop. We cannot be sidelined. We have to keep walking the straight and narrow, because that's where God's kingdom is, and that's where He's wanting us to be. And to be able to help all those, as brought out by yesterday, you realize you're going to be, after that period, you'll be at the 100-year period, and that you will be working with your aunts, uncles, some type of relative, trying to help them and help them to see and understand, because they have an opportunity also to be in God's kingdom. And you and I will have the opportunity of helping them to see and say, Uncle Joe, Aunt Joy, I have a brother who died before I was born, so I never met him. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad wasn't, my mother was. And they divorced when I was 3 years old. And this is back in the early 50s. And you know, my mom didn't get me. My dad took me. He was a bartender. So he found people to take care of me. Had an aunt and uncle that took care of me for a few years, until I was about 5 or 6. And then, after that, I was pushed around about 5 or 6 different houses, or different homes, because they didn't really care for me. They wanted the money my dad was paying me, and that was it. I was basically without someone who really cared. The only thing I had in my life was God. But see, I didn't know that much about Him. I knew there was a God. But I had my dad. And then when you see what happened to me, which changed my whole life, because if I'd saved my dad, I'd have been continually doing what he did. And he ran bars and stuff, and it wasn't exactly where you should be. But I had an aunt and uncle come back, and they raised me for 10, 12 years. From the time I think I was 7 till I was 19, I left the house. And it was a small town. And go there, and I'd call them mom and unc, because the only mother I ever had was my aunt. She's the only one that loved me and cared for me. And you know, it's amazing how God worked my life for so many times that I could be here today, and I don't deserve it. God has been so merciful, there's no other way I could ever be here. He guided and directed things so that I got with an aunt and uncle who took care of me, who cared for me. I finally had half a root. You who have all your family, please be thankful. Please be sure you show love and be sure you say the word, I love you. Nobody ever hates for you to say, I love you. I've never told my wife not to tell me that. And she's never told me not to tell her that. God says who? God is the God of love. We're to love each other. We're to love everyone. So as we keep this feast, let you and I be the first fruits that God has called us to be. Let's realize the blessings we have. That's why this is such a blessing here. When you realize we are a family and we're together, and God is teaching us, God is helping us, and we get to rejoice with maybe more than we have normally. Because I don't know about you, when I come here, I have more money than I have normally to go anywhere. But the point is, God wants you and I to enjoy and learn His way at all times. I hope you all have a great feast. I want to thank you for all those I've got to talk to. I pray that when we go home, we can say, this is the best feast I have ever been to yet.